broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Todd Starnes.
You know, I'm very curious to know if any of you out there have lost your job. Have you been furloughed? Have you been laid off? Have you been sent home? Are you no longer getting a paycheck from your employer? And I want to hear from you this hour of the program, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. It's a toll-free number. The reason I ask that, the new unemployment numbers are out, and we're looking at, I mean, it has not been this bad since, 2008. Over 26 million people now unemployed in America. And this is a big deal. I still believe this president has a lot of support in this country. But the fact of the matter is, that election back in 2016 was mighty darn close. And you really do have to wonder, you really do have to factor in what the suffering is going to do as we move closer to November. So here we are in April. They're telling us that some of the southern states will be reopening as soon as the next few days. Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee. But even in Tennessee, not all of the major metropolitan areas are opening. There's a guy by the name of Jim Strickland. He's the mayor in Memphis, Tennessee. He's a Democrat. And he is holding his thumb on local businesses in this city, refusing to allow them to reopen until May 5th. And we'll see if he honors his word then. But by and large, most of you folks are still in states listening to this program that are locked down. You can't get out. You don't have much freedom anymore. And I'm wondering what that's going to do come November. Because it's not going to be over by then. You understand that some places like New York City are not going to reopen until sometime over the summer, maybe early fall. And if that happens, that is going to have a tremendous economic impact on the rest of the country. And the same goes for Los Angeles and Chicago and some of our other larger American cities. That is going to impact all of us. There's a report out, Gap, the clothing store. I mean, they're talking about literally abandoning the leases they have on some of these department stores. So you really wonder, what is this country going to look like by November when people have exhausted their savings accounts, when people are having their homes foreclosed on, when people may have to resort to standing in bread lines for hours on end. And we know some of that's already happening. I mean, we've all seen the pictures coming out of San Antonio. You folks listening to us on KLUP, you know the suffering. You see it right in front of you. And the Democrats understand this. They understand that, by and large, the American people do not have any savings. Everybody lives paycheck to paycheck. So you've got these governors out there, and you've got Brian Kemp, who's the governor of Georgia, and we certainly have our differences with the governor. He's a Republican, and he decided to heed the president's call and reopen the state of Georgia. But in doing so, he decided to reopen the hair salons and the tattoo parlors, as he should have. I think the governor made the right call. He was stepping out and saying, you know what? We think it's time for us to move ahead. And a lot of people in the state of Georgia completely agree with the governor. But there are a lot of people who do not agree, including the president of the United States. Play that audio, please.
Some of the governors have done a fantastic job working with us. I told the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, that I disagree strongly with his decision to open certain facilities which are in violation of the phase one guidelines for the incredible people of Georgia. They're incredible people. I love those people. They're great. They've been strong, resolute. But at the same time, he must do what he thinks is right. I want him to do what he thinks is right. But I disagree with him on what he's doing, but I want to let the governors do. Now, if I see something totally egregious, totally out of line, I'll do. But I think spas and beauty salons and tattoo parlors and barbershops in phase one, we're going to have phase two very soon, is just too soon. I think it's too soon. And I love the people. I love those people that use all of those things, the spas and the beauty parlors and barbershops, tattoo parlors. I love them. But they can wait a little bit longer, just a little bit, not much, because safety has to predominate. We have to have that. So I told the governor very simply that I disagree with his decision, but he has to do what he thinks is right.
So I want to ask you a question. Did it sound like the president was throwing the governor of Georgia under the bus there? I mean, I get it. The president has been pretty upfront by the fact that the state governors are in charge of what's happening in their states. But some people feel like the president threw the governor of Georgia under the bus. And the governor is catching all sorts of flack because you know that the mainstream media interpreted it that way. And they had several Republican governors or Republican mayors from Georgia on CNN, MSNBC last night, blasting the governor and saying that it's way too much. Or maybe you feel like the governor did the right thing, that it's time to get things open. Now, me, I personally believe every business in America is an essential business. If you employ an American citizen, if you are adding to the tax base of your community, I think that that makes you, that qualifies you to be an essential business. That's all. And again, they're out there saying, well, the hair salons, it's too dangerous for you to go out there and get a haircut. Who do you think's cutting the hair of all the people that you see on the cable television? They're getting their hair made up. They're getting their makeup put on. They're getting their nails did. So why can't you? Why is it okay for the television people to look all gussied up, but the average American cannot be gussied up themselves? I'm just curious. 844-747-8868. Do you think the governor of Georgia went too far here? 844-747-8868. We're going to be taking your calls on this. Also, ToddStearns.com. Folks, I really want to encourage you to get yourself a copy of our free podcast. It is a free download and all sorts of different platforms, whether it's iTunes or Spotify, TuneIn. We have many, many different ways, all free, to assist you in getting our daily podcast. And also, the Todd Stearns Show newsletter that comes out on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, another freebie. We don't charge for that, and we don't accept money for that. It's just it's our gift to you as a listener of this radio show. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Stearns.
Let's get to the phones here. Prattsville, Arkansas. Deanne is listening to us on KARN. Hi, Deanne. How are you today?
Good afternoon. I am fine. And actually, that's Prattsville, Arkansas.
What did I say?
I'm not sure, but it's
Prattsville. Prattsville, Arkansas.
Yes, Arkansas.
All right.
Yes. Yes.
Got it. All right, Deanne. How are you?
I am good, and I support the governor of Georgia. I really.
Did we lose Deanne? Deanne, here's what I want you to do. You may have hit a bad cell spot, so Deanne, you give us a call right back, and we'll get you on. Deanne from Prattsville, Arkansas. I support the governor of Georgia as well. I think if you, again, if you employ red-blooded American patriots, then you need to be back opening up your business and contributing to the economy. Do we have Deanne back?
Yes.
All right, Deanne, my apologies. Continue.
That is okay. I do support the governor of Arkansas, the governor of Georgia, and I really wish our governor would follow suit. I am a salon owner, and I'm also a licensed instructor, and we follow very, very strict sanitation infection control procedures in our salon. So we can control how many come into our salon. We can control our appointment schedule. I am not receiving any assistance in keeping my salon open at this point. I don't have unemployment. I need to be open. And I can follow sanitation infection control procedures, and I can control how many appointments I schedule, how many are allowed in my salon. Every county is different. Every state is different. Every city is different. The county I live in only has 11 confirmed cases and no deaths. The county that my salon is located in has just a little over 40, I believe 44 last I knew, confirmed cases and only one death. So why are we not essential? Why, whenever we have thousands of hours for our licenses, I have 2,100 hours for my licenses. So what makes me not essential? We're the only field outside of the medical field that's licensed by the state to touch another human being. So yes, I'm going to protect myself and my clients, but I need to be open and I need to be working, and my clients need me also.
Oh yes, I have no doubt about the same story here in Memphis where we base our show, Deanne. People need haircuts. They need but seriously, it's an important service that you provide, and you know we have this. Go ahead.
It's not just a service. It's not just a service. Our education, and I'm speaking for my education that I had. We study chemistry, anatomy, physiology. We're not just high school dropouts that can do nothing but hair. We are educated, and we wear gloves. We wear smocks. If I need to wear a mask to service my clients, I will. And I'm sorry, I don't want to get on my soapbox, but I'm financially hurting over this, and so are other. I'm a small salon. There's only three stylists in my salon, and we work more than 6 feet apart from each other. And I can control how many people come in my salon.
The problem is, Deanne, that the government doesn't trust you to think. They don't trust that you are going to have common sense. That's the problem.
Well, I'm going to hold my tongue on what I think about our government, but yes.
No, go ahead. Don't hold your tongue. It's talk radio. You get to speak your mind here.
Well, I'm very disappointed in our government at this point. I'm a smart, educated lady, and I'm not going to jeopardize myself, nor am I going to jeopardize my clients. And I am going to follow proper sanitation. My disinfectants that I order, you don't go to a dollar discount store to purchase. I actually order that kills multiple viruses, and they're used every day in my salon, every day. All day.
Deanne, I think there are a lot of people listening that are sympathizing with you because they are in the same boat you are in. You know, we had a hair salon owner from the state of Maine call in yesterday, and she was just as fired up as you are because you're right. You guys, you have the licenses, you know what to do, you're not going to put yourself or your clients in harm's way, and the government just does not trust us, and that is the problem. They do not trust us.
And that's really sad, because I'm a registered voter and have been since I was 18, and it's really sad that my government does not trust me when I am educated. My children are educated. My family is educated. I'm not going to jeopardize anybody. And the government is not supporting myself or my salon. I have no benefits at all. No unemployment.
Deanne, I know we have a lot of listeners in Arkansas. Give us the name of your salon so when you can reopen, maybe folks would love to schedule an appointment. What's the name of your salon if you want to share it?
The name of my salon is called The Modern Salon. It is historical and opened in 1931.
Well, congratulations. Has it been in the family business? Is it a family thing?
No, sir, it's not family. I believe I am the sixth owner since 1931. It is a historical salon. And the way the layout is, and it's not my layout, it's just the building itself, we do work more than 6 feet apart from each other. So I believe wholeheartedly, without a shadow of a doubt, that my salon is safe to walk into. I am very anal about keeping my salon clean and using proper disinfectants.
I have no doubt about that, Deanne. And again, it's shameful what the government's doing to you and to so many other small business owners. And sooner or later, you're going to make that decision yourself, whether the governor says yay or nay. You know, you may just have to decide, you know what, we're going to reopen for business.
Oh, and I would love to reopen. But if I reopen, I risk a $1,000 fine and I risk suspension of my license. No matter, I have the right to work. If we are not lifted and I even try to work, then I am at risk for receiving a $1,000 fine and having my license suspended.
So what are you
although there are hairdressers right now that are going underground and working from home, I will never throw anyone under the bus. But I do know hairdressers that are doing this behind closed doors, locked closed doors, just to make ends meet. But if they get caught, it is a $1,000 fine and possible of license suspension.
Unbelievable. So if you
absolutely.
So if you're driving through a neighborhood and you see a bunch of ladies just waiting in line in the sidewalk, just keep on driving. Just don't say anything.
Yes.
Just keep on.
Sadly,
driving.
Yes.
Oh my word.
I will never throw anyone under the bus, but it does.
No,
aggravates me to pieces that the
because
government controls
the
us
rules.
That bad.
Mm-hmm.
I am playing by the rules. I follow our rules, regs, and laws as they are written. But I can't work, and the government is not supporting me. I have yet to receive unemployment. I have made 3 attempts to apply and still have not received unemployment. But I still have utility bills to pay, and I still have a lease on my building to pay.
Deanne, I want you to do is we've got to take a break here, Deanne. I want you to promise to check back in with us and let us know how things are going. And if there's any way we can be of help, you know how to reach out to us. And we'll do our best to try to help you, you know, as well, and reach out to your elected leaders, because that's just not right what's happening there. It's just not right. So, all right, Deanne, thank you. God bless you. Hang in there, folks. Your reaction to what Deanne just said, and maybe you are in the same boat, 844-747-8868, toll-free number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Got a note from one of our listeners, one of our eagle ear listeners. Is that even a thing? I don't know. But anyway, Ricky, listening to us on the talk station, said, Todd, Brawny is not the quicker picker-upper. That's Bounty. How did I miss that? I've been saying that all day long, Caleb, and no one. Finally, Ricky, thank you, from Eastern North Carolina, was kind enough to call in and, or at least write in and set the record straight. Bounty is the quicker picker-upper. Thank you for that, Ricky. Appreciate it. My bad. My apologies. But ladies and gentlemen, again, when we make a mistake on this radio show, Caleb, what do we do when we make a mistake on this radio show?
We fix it.
We fix it. We don't make excuses. We clean it up, just like Bounty, the quicker picker-upper. So, which apparently we can get down at the super low in East Memphis. So I may have to scoot right out of here after the program today. All right, let's get to the phones. Chattanooga, Tennessee, one of the prettiest places in America, ladies and gentlemen. Donnie is listening to us on 101.5 FM. Hi, Donnie. What's on your mind today?
Hello, Todd. I just called to comment on your question there about should the police, you know, blah, blah, blah. Actually, I think the police should do just what they've taken an oath to do. And I believe that's to enforce the laws of the state. I don't know exactly how they say it, but we can't act like, now, believe me, I'm all for the protests and stuff like that, if that's what you want to do, man, if that trips your switch. And actually, I'm very patriotic, and you know what I'm saying. But we can't let law and order break down, even when it involves law and order. And we, as individual citizens, need to realize a lot of times these people are caught in the middle. There are many things they don't want to enforce, but yet to maintain order. And if we lose order, then now I'm not saying there isn't a time or a reason to fight. But and believe you me, I was one of the first people to say, hey, how can you shut down my place of worship? I've been on that right from the jump street.
Now, Donnie, let me jump in here and explain to folks what we're talking about. Earlier in the program, we told you about what's happening in Houston, Texas, where the government there in Houston has mandated that everybody has to wear some sort of a mask, a face covering in public. And the Houston Police Officers Union says they're not going to enforce that law until they get a clarification from the Attorney General over whether or not it's constitutional. So the question here is, should law enforcement, should they ignore orders that are clearly unconstitutional? So that's sort of the backstory of what we're talking about here. Donnie, my apologies. Go ahead and continue.
Yeah, well I mean, I don't believe that an ordinance put out by the mayor, an edict like that would quite qualify as a law. So, but we have surely there are attorneys who could, and I know that we can fast track things because we have seen it fast tracked here with the virus, you know, coming up with the testing and then the vaccines. We know what we can do when we try. And things like this take precedent over everything. So what should happen here, I believe, is that attorneys should call for an emergency, you know, ruling on this with the judges. And if it has to go bam, 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 just like that, you know, that's the way it goes to the state Supreme Court anyway. You know what I mean? Because there's 50 of them out there that may feel the same way I do. But we cannot let our zeal for freedom destroy it.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that we cannot, this is not the time for insurrection, not right now. And the whole time that we were even in our war for freedom, we were communicating, trying to come up to an agreement with England the whole time until they just shut us off, see? So we should always, like I say, surely there are attorneys out there who would take this up, and our judges out there would feel so strongly about something. If they wanted to put you out, they go, no, the cops are right. If they want to put you in jail, you're just in jail, buddy boy, you know? Or there ought to be some out there that go, no, you know what, we're going to follow the Constitution, the Bill of Rights here. So I just don't think that that it's time for that right now. I've got 10 years military experience, not bragging or anything. I'm not talking through my hat, you know.
No, I don't think you are, Donnie. And look, I appreciate your service to our great country. I think the argument could be made, though, that there are people out there that believe standing up now is preventing an insurrection down the road.
I'm for that. But my point is, we need to work within the system. Otherwise, the system breaks down, and that is what people who want to destroy this country, I personally feel that the left will not be satisfied until there is chaos in the streets, people fighting in the streets, just like in Fallujah and places like that. That is their aim, because then they can take control, because they are in very powerful positions, my brother. You know, and you can call me a conspiracy theorist or a freakazoid or whatever you want to call me, but that's just the way I see it.
Well, I'd rather call you a friend of this radio program if it's all the same, Donnie. But you know, to your point,
thank you for that.
To your point, Donnie, yesterday we were talking about this, the soccer moms who staged the protest on the playground in Idaho. And if you see the video, which if you've seen the video, we have it over on our website. That really concerned me, because that escalated very quickly, and that could have gotten very, very ugly. We are in some very dangerous waters right now. I'll just say that. Go ahead.
We are in dangerous waters, and a lot of this depends on, you see, as Christians, what we tend to do, and I'm not, look here, the gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of peace. End of story. That's why I need a Savior, because depends on where you're at. People will sit back and we go, well, golly, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to do this. We don't want to do that. Not realizing the whole time that there are people out there that don't care to be offended, because that's what they intend to do. They intend to offend, and nothing you can do satisfies them. And I'm not calling anyone evil. I'll let them bring that to themselves. That's God's job, not mine. But evil is never satisfied. There's never enough suffering. There's never enough hunger. There's never enough death. There's never enough of anything to satisfy evil. That is why we have to take a stand for what is good. Now, lots of times that makes me keep my mouth shut, because people have that freedom. But when it becomes an affront to civility, it has to be dealt with.
It's a fair point you raise, Donnie. I mean, it really is. And I look, I'd love to keep the conversation going. We're gonna have to let you go. But I do appreciate your thought there. And I think there are good and decent people on both sides of this issue. Should the police enforce these laws they know to be unconstitutional? If you're a police officer, would you have disrupted that church service Sunday in New Jersey? Would you have stopped the preacher from reading scripture? If you were a police officer in Greenville, Mississippi, would you have given all of those people, those elderly Christians in their cars, would you have given them a $500 ticket? Would you have done that? What should the police do? I think, I mean, look, it's a fair assessment that the police are caught in the middle here. But some of these sheriffs, some of these police chiefs are finally starting to stand up and say, you know what? We're not going to enforce those kinds of laws. We're not going to do that. That's unconstitutional. Whether it's an attack on the church, whether it's an attack on the Second Amendment, freedom of assembly. What would you do? What do you recommend the police do? 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Excited about our next guest. This is I don't know if she has extra Bounty paper towels or toilet paper, but she's got a terrific new book out called Crowned in Promise: 100 Prayers for Your Children, and it's written by one of the classiest ladies in all of Washington, D.C. Kimberly Willingham Hubbard is on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Kimberly, welcome to the show.
Hi, Todd. Thanks so much for having me on the program.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's been a struggle. We're broadcasting the show from Memphis, Tennessee. We can't find any toilet paper or paper towels anywhere in the Mid-South. So, you know, if you can hook us up, you know, we'd be much appreciative.
We only have a limit, one per customer.
It's terrible, terrible. Hey, look, when I found out that you had written a book, I was so excited because, you know, we've worked together, for many years. And I'm so excited to see you writing this book, and especially the subject matter, 100 Prayers for Your Children. Tell us about the book.
Well, it's a book of prayers for your children with their different themed prayers. So it's something, a resource for parents to have to pray scripture verses over their children. It's something I started out as a passion project for my son, who's 3.5, he's almost 4. And I wanted to have a resource that when I'm kind of tired at night and frazzled, I know a lot of scripture verses, but sometimes you know, as a parent, you have busy days and you can't think of the, you know, scripture verses off the top of your mind. So I wanted to have something that I could use to say, well, I'm going to pray courage over you tonight and, different themes. And so I kind of put it together for my son. And I thought, you know, if I want this as a parent, how many more parents would want this resource too?
You write that children are precious gifts from the Lord. And you say that these prayers, and these are prayers that that parents should pray over their children, for, like at bedtime or something of that nature?
Yeah, I mean, bedtime you could pray, you could start, you know, a tradition of praying a prayer over your child at bedtime. And you know, my thought is that when scripture is read over a child, that, you know, they'll memorize that scripture verse and they'll take it to heart, and it's something that they'll carry with them. That's what my mother actually did for me when I was growing up. Is my mom and dad would kneel by our bedside and pray promises over us. I think it was from a church pamphlet or something like that. But when, you know, I set out looking for something to pray over my son, and so that's why I wrote this, because I wasn't able to find something online that infused scripture verses in individual prayers for children.
What's that like getting? So, I mean, so the reviews are remarkable, and the book is doing incredibly well on Amazon right now. David Limbaugh, Cal Thomas, Rebecca St. James, all giving their thumbs up for the book. That must be pretty exciting to get those endorsements.
Oh, it's very exciting. And I mean, I honestly did this, it's a ministry, and I want, you know, I want parents to have this book, and I want them to have the resources to pray those prayers over their children. So it's exciting to see that it's, you know, furthering the kingdom of God, and that, you know, that it will bless these, you know, little ones' lives. And that's the most exciting part to me.
The name of the book, folks, Crowned in Promise, 100 Prayers for Your Children, and you can get it wherever you purchase your books. Kimberly, I know you have a great website, too. Tell folks about the website you have.
Sure, yeah. I blog on a website. It's called TradingPaperCrowns.com, and it's really, I just blog devotionals and things about Jesus. So, if you know, feel free to check that out, too.
How's the family holding up through the quarantine? I know parenting is stressful, you know, on a good day.
We're Megan and Gene. I have a 3.5-year-old little boy and a 3-month-old daughter. So my little boy's church class was canceled, so he's at home with me. So we're doing lots of activities together.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. And doing lots of those prayers, I have to imagine. So
yes, exactly. Exactly.
So I am intrigued by something, Kimberly. For some reason, I did not know that you went to Baylor University.
I did, yes.
Now, was this
Waco, Texas.
Was this pre or post, like, Magnolia?
It was pre-Magnolia, so we didn't have all the cool store and, you know, all that stuff out there. I went back to Waco recently, and it's changed so much, and it's very cool around the campus. So it wasn't as cool back then.
No, I mean, you know, look, I'm a Baptist, so, you know, Baylor was kind of like, you know, our version of, you know, Notre Dame or, you know, or Brigham Young. So everybody wanted to go to Waco, but everybody knew that Waco itself was not, you know, cool. There wasn't like a hip factor, but now it's kind of like it's defining hip and cool for the rest of the country, I guess.
I know, and they have an awesome new football stadium, too. We didn't have that when I was going to college there either.
Oh, that is nice. That's nice. Have you been, though, to the Magnolia? Have you been to, like, their diner, their restaurants, and all that kind of stuff?
I haven't been into the restaurant because they had a line out the door. I feel like every single time I go there, they have a line out the door, so I didn't wait in that. But I went into their shop, and then they have like a little food court area that has all these food trucks, and we ate out there too. So that was pretty neat.
Yeah, you at least have to go in and get some of the shiplap. So that's the only thing I know from the show.
I have some in my home because of Joanna Gaines.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, look. I just think this is terrific, and this is what a wonderful time for this book to come out. Crowned and Promised, 100 Prayers for Your Children. Kimberly, give us the website address one more time.
Sure. My blog site is www.tradingpapercrowns.com, and you can get the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, just any booksellers like that.
All right. Well, we're going to do our best to help sell you some books.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations, Kimberly. And we'd love to get you back on sometime down the road.
Okay. Thank you so much, Todd. I appreciate your interest in the book.
All right. Kimberly Willingham Hubbard, ladies and gentlemen, author of the brand new book, Crowned and Promised. What a beautiful book cover, too, folks. So this is really nice. 100 Prayers for Your Children. If you are a parent, if you are a grandparent, you need to get a copy of this book. And we want to do our part. We have a lot of authors coming onto the program. This is one of the books that you need to have in your library. I just want to go ahead and put that out there right now. Good lady right there, Kimberly. I knew her as Kimberly Willingham, now Kimberly Willingham Hubbard. And just what a fun book. And we actually share a publisher as well. So good folks there. David Limbaugh, who's a friend of this program, says, reading and praying these 100 promises from God over your children and continuing to do so once they are adults will enrich your family life and draw you all to intimacy with the Father. And, you know, that is an interesting concept of praying for your children even when they are grown and they have children of their own. So, again, it's very – look, it's there's a synergy there in how we do that. And let's be honest, I think we can all agree on this radio program that every one of us needs as much prayer as we can possibly get. You know what I'm talking about. All right, folks, it's been a good day. It's been a busy day, and we're going to scoot out of here. We got to go find some Bounty, the quicker picker-upper. And you've got things to do as well. Look, hang out with us on our social media platforms, toddstearns.com. Get out there. Have a great day. Be safe. We'll see you tomorrow.